It's kind of an awesome statement that at our best we're still empty. King Solomon said that everything under the sun is vanity. We may be satisfied for a while, but the emptiness returns. Just like when we eat a meal, like that good one we had the other night at your house. The emptiness came back. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, drink this water and you will thirst again. This can be said about every experience of life that we do on our own. There is at best only temporary fulfillment. So from the time a man is born, he starts his search, the search of a lifetime. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, especially knowing what you have done for us and the love you have for us, and many times the way we reject you. Father, open our hearts and our minds again to receive your word. And Father, we thank you so much that we can come together for your word. According to Jesus, only lasting satisfaction can be found in him. Again, at the well, he said to the woman, drink of the water I give you, and you will never thirst. Job says in chapter 23, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. And that's one thing God has promised us, that he can be found in the Bible. Jeremiah 29 says, where God said to Job, Jeremiah, seek me and you shall find me. He didn't say you'll stumble upon me by accident. In fact, how many of us are in a habit of finding things by accident when we're looking for them? God wants us to find him. James even said it in chapter 4, in verse 8. He said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We can look at an example of that. If we would, let's go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 15. This is about Asa, one of the kings of Judah. And when Asa first became king, it was said about him, which wasn't said about too many of the kings of Judah, that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Then in chapter 15, the Spirit of, verse 1, says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. He was the priest at the time. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So we see that, again, this warning was given to Asa, even though he did what was right in the sight of God. But as Asa grew older and wiser in the ways of the world, and he became more dependent on himself, making his own decisions instead of seeking God, we can see what happens if we go over one chapter, 16, and go to verse 9. We see where it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, talking to Asa. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. So this is what happens when he backed away from God. That emptiness came, and he messed up his whole life by not depending on God, but by depending on himself. If God promises that he can be found, then you will find him. And God keeps his word. We can go back to Numbers chapter 23. In verse 19, this would be a good memory verse too, always to keep close to your heart. God is not a man, in verse 19, Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So there's the promise from God. And it shows that God is faithful, and he will always do what he says he will do. There is, though, conditions to God's promises. And often God gives us conditional promises. There is a condition to finding God. We must seek him with all of our heart. Let's go over to Jeremiah 29. Verse 13 again, it's the same one as I quoted before. Seek me and you will find me. Okay. Our search must be a fervent search, though. In fact, if we were looking for treasure and we knew where to look, would we get out our spoon or our shovel to dig with? Or would we get out our backhoe and just find it? Because God does not want to be found by those who seek him half-heartedly. Jesus even said this in Matthew 15. When he was talking about the Sadducees and Pharisees. In chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus was saying, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me. And again, over in Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, that's verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And when you do find God, the search, you want to make it like you were looking for a hidden treasure. And once you find him, it does not stop. It's an ongoing thing. There's ways we can keep seeking God. And a good example is back in Proverbs, chapter 2, right after Psalms. And beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So there's another promise. And we see right there too, it's more than just reading. It's receiving. But when you find God, you find wisdom. And when you find wisdom, you find God. And as it states there, we must treasure the commands of the Lord. Though sometimes we're not very effective in our search for God because we're not diligent in studying. Like I said, it's not a matter of just reading. It's a matter of studying and digging in and finding the truth. We also seek God by listening. We might hear teachings on the radio. We hear teachings when we go to church. We hear God's word all the time. We must open our ears to what's being preached and our hearts to receive it. We must not only hear, but we must also understand what God has spoken to us and act accordingly. You must also be diligent enough, like the Bereans were, that what is preached from the spoken word is the truth of God. It is from the Bible. It's not taken out of context, and it's not somebody's own doctrine, but it's true out of the Bible. And then, of course, the most important way of seeking God is through prayer. Go quickly up to Jeremiah 33, rather. As Jeremiah spoke here, or as God was speaking to him, in verse 3 of 33, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, showing you great and mighty things which you do not know." And mighty can also be interpreted as inaccessible things, things that we otherwise wouldn't have access to if it wasn't for us going to God. So cry out to the Lord as one who wants to be heard. Seek God as though you were looking for silver or fine treasure. Seek God fervently in your prayers. Call upon the Lord when he is near. Let's go back one book to Isaiah, chapter 55. And beginning in verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Again, God's love is shown there where even people who have fallen away return, as he says. In fact, Jesus even said that, as we saw, a month or so ago in Revelation on Sunday, in chapter 2 of Revelation, when he was speaking to the church at Ephesus, he said that they had left their first love. And he tells the church to repent and return to him. We can remember that very easily by the three R's. They are, number one, repent. Number two, return. Number three, repeat steps one and two. We do that, we've got it. We must get on fire for the Lord. We must do it and serve Him fervently, with great fervency. In fact, many Christians today do not realize that they are not really as close to God as they believe they are. They began their Christian lives allowing God to have preeminence, and He was the most important person in their lives. Yet, now they feel kind of empty and unfulfilled. Maybe the reason for this emptiness is that they're no longer seeking God with all their heart, but are looking to the world for fulfillment. What these people need to do, again, is seek the Lord as if they were seeking hidden treasure. We must realize that God desires all His children to come to Him with all diligence and with a fervent heart. Some are coming to church, but they're not really ready to hear. They've not even prepared their hearts before they come to church. How many of us remember when we first got saved, how we used to bring our pens and our notebooks and we were so hungry for God's Word? Do we still have our notebooks? Do we ever go over them and look at our notes? Are we still taking notes during the teaching of God's Word? Are you really fervent in seeking the Lord when you come to church? Remember, we must prepare our hearts if we expect to hear from God. I have a few questions here that we should all ask ourselves and take these into meditation and even into prayer. Do you still find yourself seeking for fulfillment in the world? Are you seeking for God fervently with all of your heart, mind, and soul? Do you really prepare your heart and mind before you come to hear a teaching? And how do you do that? Are you seeking or digging for God with a spoon? Or do you have that spiritual backhoe out there? How is your search coming along? And do you seek God fervently in your prayer life? So why would anyone be satisfied with a mediocre Christian life? It's no wonder that Christians today are not hearing from God. They do not prepare their hearts for God to speak to them. Jesus said that we would never be fulfilled, find fulfillment in the world, and that only one way can be through Him is the only way we can be fulfilled, to have a right relationship with Him. If you're not happy or satisfied where you are living as a Christian, then you must ask yourself, have I really sought the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength? Let's go to John chapter 6. When I was preparing this, I didn't think of the time that communion was tonight, too, but it works out great. In chapter 6, verse 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So he's telling us that by staying close and always on that bread of life, we will never hunger and thirst. Skip down to verse 47. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And we go back a couple of chapters, revisit the woman at the well as a reminder there in chapter 4, beginning verse 10. But Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. But apparently the woman didn't quite comprehend who he was or what was going on, because the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. If anyone has left their first love, then return to the works, the first works. As God said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Then we must also seek for the Lord Jesus as we would seek for hidden treasure. So may the Lord bless us all as we set out for our treasure hunt, the search for a lifetime. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your word. We pray, Father, that we would all constantly remember to repent and return and to repeat. For all of us as sinners are in constant need of repentance. And the more we do, the closer we become to you, and the more fulfilled we are. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.